I always look forward to coming because I only see you maybe once every 3 months, and when you look at yourself in the mirror, you wouldn't recognize. But every time I come and look at you, you guys look different. Some of you are taller, distinctively taller, and even though you may not be taller, you're losing a lot of the baby face, and look a lot more mature, which I'm very, very happy. Today the sermon is, what will we give? I think I should stand a little bit further away from the mic. What will we give? Now, we're all familiar with this passage, right? This story. Everybody's familiar, okay? The Pharisees and the Herodians, they conspired to harm and murder Jesus. So they came and they tried to trap him. But Jesus, the Son of God, he knew what was in their hearts. So he answered the questions. They came to catch him in his words, yet they came away amazed. Very simple story. And I'd like for us to focus on verse 17, on what Jesus said. What Jesus said in verse 17, he said, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." I want us to think about that today. Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. What do we give to Caesar? That is today the government, right? The U.S. government. As citizens, what do we owe the U.S. government for the benefits, for the protection, for the rights, and the services? Very simple. For those of us who are older and working, we pay our taxes. For you guys who are very young, you have no idea what's ahead of you. But not only the taxes, right? We abide by the laws, and we obey the sovereignty and the authority of the government. We pay our taxes, we pay our fair share, and we obey the laws and the authority of the government. Now, a lot of you, I talked about, right, last year I built a house in Summit, New Jersey. And we moved in, it was all completed, we were all happy, we moved in end of October. And I asked the engineering department, I said, "Everything done?" They said, "Yeah, everything's done. You get your certificate of occupancy." That is, you know, by law, you need that certificate to be able to live in a house. Called CO, certificate of occupancy. He said, "You get it in the mail." November, December, January, February. No CO in the mail. So about 2 weeks ago, I sent the engineer a little email. I said, "Could you mind like checking into what's going on? I haven't gotten it. Maybe they sent to the wrong address." He came back to me. He said, "Oh no," he said, "you still need a final building inspection." Okay, we didn't know we wanted it, so we made an appointment for the inspection. The day of the inspection, last Thursday, the inspector called my builder. "Joe, there's no need. I don't need to come anymore. It's all done." So my builder was waiting for half a day. He said, "See, I told you, there's no need. It's all done." So anyways, the town is going to send me a CO in the mail. This was Thursday. Friday morning, I saw a little black car in front of my house. A man walking up and down my lawn, measuring. I didn't want to like go out and ask like what's going on, right? But I had an inkling. I had an inkling what's going on. So after 10 minutes, he left. Later on, I went out to get my mail, and I saw a little business card on the floor. His name, City of Summit, and behind his name is a title, CTA. CTA. I don't know what it is. You know, what is? So I Googled, right, trying to find out what is a CTA, and there's no CTA. But finally, it dawned on me. Certified Tax Assessor. CTA, Certified Tax Assessor. That is, the town doesn't waste any time. Today, they closed the permit. It's all completed. Tomorrow, they send someone to see how much tax you owe. So I'm just praying we won't be owing, we won't be receiving a whopping tax bill, okay, in the mail. I have no idea, because we did expand, like, you know, maybe 500 square feet, okay? But we'll find out. In America, we pay plenty of taxes, or your parents pay plenty of taxes. Federal income tax, which is about 20%, thereabouts. Your state and local tax, which is anywhere from 6 to 8%, depending on state. Some states are nicer, there's no state income tax. Then you have to deal with sales tax. Every time you buy a video game, it's like a 7.5% tax. Every time you go and eat, right, 7.5%. Then you have property tax if you own a house, which is a big percentage, I don't know, 10, 15% of your income, okay? And there are a lot of other taxes, like, you know, unemployment tax, gasoline tax. Every time you fly, you pay plenty of taxes. And for me, you know, I take it anytime you get a speeding ticket, that's part of the tax. They try to catch the good guy speeding, then they get more money, right? All together, when you add them all up, it's 45, 55% of your income that you give to the U.S. government. That's a lot of money. 45 to 55% of what you're going to make when you grow up and start working, when you go to high school, get out of college, and working, over half of it goes to the U.S. government. Give back to Caesar what's Caesar's. We pay grudgingly, but we do pay. We try to pay as little as possible. So a good accountant, a good tax accountant would give you certain deductions that you can legally take and to lower your tax. We pay as late as possible. That's why April 15th, everybody like goes to the post office. How about God? Give back to God. What's God's? What does Jesus mean by giving back to God? What's God's? Now, all my Christian life, I look at it as, oh, Jesus teaching us to tithe. I don't know if you have the same understanding that I had. I thought, well, give to Caesar what's Caesar's, you pay your taxes, then give to God what's God's, then it's tithing, the 10%. Now, when I was a younger Christian, I heard Christians arguing whether it's before tax or after tax. Because, you know, 10% is a lot of money. But think about that. Give to the U.S. government 50%. Give to God 10%. Is that the right ratio? God is God, right? God is God. He created the universe. He saved us. And we give him 10%? If we give 50% to the U.S. government, that means we should be giving 100%, 200%, 1,000% to God. Or maybe 10,000% to God. But mathematically, that's impossible. It doesn't add up. So what does Jesus mean by saying, give back to God what's God? Is our attitude the same as giving to the U.S. government? Pay as little as possible, pay as late as possible. What is God's then? Well, God created the universe, right? Psalm 89, the heavens are yours. You founded the world and all that is in it. Hebrew, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Everything in the world, it's God's. So what are we supposed to give back to God? Aren't we in this world? Instead of thinking, tithing 10%, what other things that are not physical, that are more valuable and intangible that we can give to God? Even if we give back all our possessions, right? Your iPhone, your computer. I can think that giving back God's computer when you think that, well, I'm not going to waste too much time on the internet or on Facebook or on Video games, I can see that. Giving back to God. Giving up your computer time, for God's sake. But what's God going to do with your computer? So what can we give him in addition to tithing? What will we give him in addition to tithing? Now, I've talked about having a dog and a cat these days, right? I don't have any kids at home now, so I had to, like, bring on more suffering for myself by adopting a dog and a cat. If you go to a pet store, you'll find out that at the back of the pet store, there's an area that there are some cats that is waiting to be adopted. So I was at the pet store this week, and I was talking to the lady who was giving the cats some attention. And we got talking, and at the end I said, I took in a stray cat 2 years ago, and we adopted a dog last August. That's like 6 months ago. And I said, we had a lot of joy from them. We got a lot of joy from them. Then I caught myself, right? I said, what did I just say? I had a lot of joy from the dog and the cat. Now, the cat is easy. You give him some food, you clean his litter box, it's fine. A dog, a lot of work, a lot of headache. But I didn't say, oh, they're a lot of headache. I said, I got a lot of joy from that. Now, isn't that what God would like to say when they talk about us? I got a lot of joy from Felix. I got a lot of joy from Lucy. Isn't that something that we can think about giving to God in addition to tithing? It's not all money. It's not all physical possessions. It's something more valuable, more intangible. That is, you cannot measure. But you can give us some, we can give something to God. Joy. Joy. As his children, we need to use our life to acknowledge, to respect, to honor, to praise, to submit ourselves, to obey him, to give him joy. Now, I have a very good and healthy relationship with my children. Steph, she's 4 years college, working 4 years, so that's 8 years. She's been gone 8 years. Since she went to college, I haven't had the joy of having her around. Now, I have a very good relationship with her. I have a very healthy relationship with her. Once in a while, she calls me with problems. I try not to call her so often because I don't want to bother her. Now you understand why you sometimes don't hear from God, because God doesn't want to bother you that much. He loves us, but sometimes we say, well, where's God? I don't hear from him. Well, he doesn't want to bother you because you don't want to be bothered. I know my daughter doesn't want to be bothered. Now, my son, he's good. He's better. He comes home. He's a senior in college, looking for a job now. He comes home in the summer, and he comes home Christmas. It's good to have him home, but having him at home, it's just like not having him at home. He's a good kid, right? But dinner time, he would say, Dad, I got to go out and hang out with my friends. 6, 7 o'clock, he's gone. By the time he comes back, I'm fast asleep. When I get up, he's still sleeping. It's good to have him around. You know, I love having him around, but I miss the joy. I miss the joy of having them around. The dog and the cat, they're different. I'm sorry, I'm comparing my children to my dog and my cat, but they're the same anyways. To me, they're my children, right? The puppy, he's 9 months old now. I'll show you a picture later, just to get you guys, like, focused and not falling asleep. It's been 6 months, I said, right? And we used to, when we're going out, we keep him in the pen. so that he wouldn't like causing trouble in the basement. The cat is on the first floor, the dog's in the basement. But now it's getting bigger. He's about 50 pounds, so we don't want him like keep him in the pen for too long, so we let him loose in the basement. But every time we come home, when the garage door opens, he hears the sound, he's already by the door, wagging his tail. He's got a strong tail. When he wags the tail, you feel a breeze. It's like a fan. And he's sneaky. It's always a sneak attack. He's always like, when we're not paying attention, he licks us, our face. And it's sticky, it's slimy. You don't want to be like that. But you know, he's happy to see us. He shows his affection to us. The cat is even better. It's been 2 years. I come home, once he hears the door open up and close, you can hear his little bell on his neck coming out. Wherever he is, wherever he's sleeping, in the bedroom, by the window in the living room, he jumps down, he comes up, he meow, meow, meow. Okay? He rubs against my leg, shows me affection. That they are happy that we're around them. The joy of being together. Now we can give God that. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, right? Be proud of the status we are. We are God's children. We're His children that He loves. How many are Yankee fans? Baseball. Baseball season, Yankee. Yeah, look at the. You guys know, not baseball fans at all? Who's a Yankee fan? Yeah, Brother Don. Oh, so all you guys not raising your hand, you're Mets fans, right? Well, there are two types of teams, right? The Yankees and the Mets. I'm a Mets fan, I'm sorry to say. All right? And when I wear my hat, Mets cap, out, people point to it and laugh. I'm not proud that I'm a Mets fan. I mean, it's very bad. But I can sense that when you're a Yankee fan, right? You raise your hand, you're proud to be Yankees, right? Be proud. Be proud that we are God's children. We are chosen. That He loves us. Be proud in the school. Be proud at home. Be proud where we work. Happy. Happy for the Yankees. Happy that we're God's. Praise and thank Him. Always remember to praise and thank Him in all things, right? Because a lot of times these days, we don't hear that word thanks that much. When you go to the store, when the cashier give you back your change, that's handing it to you. Not thank you, come again, no more. I love Steph and John, right? But I can't give them everything they wanted. I only give them things according to the best interest at heart. And God is the same way. God would love to give us everything that we wanted. But God wants us to learn, to grow up, to be more mature. And He gives us things with our best interests at heart. So let's praise Him. Let's thank Him in all things. Let's give Him joy that we thank Him, that we praise Him, because He's our God. Give Him honor. Give God honor by living according to what He teaches us. By living according to what He teaches. Now, the theme for this year, right? Your theme. Galatians 2:20. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What comes before that? What comes before that? You don't need to answer me. Because I hate when the speaker asks questions and we have to answer. I'm not looking for answer, right? Let me remind you what comes before that. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. If Christ lives in us, then we show Christ's attributes in our life. And you wouldn't do anything that is not Christ-like. Let me repeat, right? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in us. If Christ lives in us, we have Christ's attribute. Brother Don, can I have the first photo? This is a Swiss mountain dog. Okay, wait a minute. Let me back up. When we adopted Trigger, right, our dog Trigger, they told us he's a lab mix. That is, a lab mixed with other breeds. He looked like a lab when he was a little baby, that was 3 months old. So when I took him to the vet, you know, Uncle Felix is always nosy. I want to know, right? So I told the vet, I said, let's do a DNA test. Let's find out what this little guy is all about. So the vet says, well, you got to watch out because you always get a surprise. So the test came back. My little guy, Trigger, is not a lab. He is a quarter Swiss mountain dog. Handsome, right? Yeah. Quarter Swiss mountain dog. Okay, the next one. He is a quarter Basset Hound. Look at those ears. Look at the sad eyes. Huh? Look at the short legs. Likeable though, right? All right, so he is a quarter Swiss Mountain, which is a black, white, brown dog. And then this Basset Hound is also like brown, white, and some black. Okay, next. He is a quarter Swiss, a Scottish Terrier. Black, all black. Man, he's not a lab. There's no lab in him, okay? And then the other quarter, the other 25% is like 4 or 5 different mix, like 3% this, 3% that, so. Okay, who is doing AP biology? Oh, okay. What's your name?
Ariel.
Ariel? Can you tell me what my dog looks like?
No.
What color? What color you think my dog is? You got to figure out what genes I express, right? Sorry, I don't want to put you in this. Okay, let's review. Let's see Trigger. A yellow dog. Honey-colored dog. Okay? He's chilling just by the door. He doesn't look like his parents, right? He doesn't look like his parents at all. Okay, next photo is him bothering his brother. He goes up, sniffs at the cat. He bothers the cat. The cat could be sleeping, and it will sniff all around him. And my cat is very, very tame, very gentle cat. I've only seen him hiss 3 times in the 3 years. First time was at me when I opened the door when he was outside. Then twice he hissed at the dog. But these days, he doesn't hiss anymore. He just, my brother is so annoying. That's the expression. Okay. So where is, he is a quarter Swiss Mountain, a quarter Basset Hound, a quarter Scottish Terrier. But where is, he doesn't look like his father or their parents. Ah, you're wrong. You're wrong. Because when I first got him, when I walked him, I said, this guy has some Basset Hound in him. He's always sniffing. He's always low to the ground and sniffing, picking up all the scents. So before I did the test, I thought, oh, he is Basset Hound mixed with a lab. No. Swiss Mountain Dog. This guy is strong. He pulls. You know, when you walk him, he's pulling like crazy. So Auntie Lucy was not careful about 3 weeks ago. You know, she was daydreaming and walking him. She tripped over him, and she's all bloodied. Her face was all bloody. She came home and, like, you know, I knew something was wrong, but very strong. Scottish Terrier, curly hair, black dog. Terrier, they run. Man, this guy, Trigger, runs like crazy. runs like crazy. So he's strong as a Swiss mountain dog. He picks up scent like the Basset Hound. And he runs fast like the Scottish Terrier. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So if Christ lives in you, then we can see, you can see Christ in your life. So give back to God what's God's. Not money. Not just money. Not just 10%. But more, a lot more. Give yourself back to God. Because Christ lives in you. If he lives in you, then he has control. You give control of your life to Christ. So remember, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give back to God what's God. Give him joy and give him your life.